Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
I've been wondering lately how I'm going to keep my 5-year-old safe in school, and I've come to the conclusion that maybe I can't. We live in Arizona, where the legislature has outlawed local mask mandates, which means that even if we send our kids to school in a mask, there will be many families that don't. And I already know that's true, because on the first day of kindergarten this week, I was in a classroom where just a few of the 13 kids in my daughter's class had their faces covered. I've heard politicians in Arizona and elsewhere say there's no proof that masks work in school, but that is not true. There is data, and Dr. Danny Benjamin has it. He's a pediatric infectious disease specialist at Duke Health in North Carolina who's been doing the science on this issue. Dr. Welkman, what do you say to politicians claiming there's no proof?
People who are responsible for keeping you and your family alive are suggesting that you should wear masks, and people whose job it is to get reelected are telling you not to. So we and others have shown in a series of studies that we did in the fall, then the winter, then the spring, where we ended up looking at over 1 million children and adults, and as a result of bipartisan legislation in North Carolina, by the way, that required school districts to report all their COVID-19 data to us while they were masked. There was a mask mandate in place for children and adults. And in the fourth quarter of instruction, with over 1 million people in schools and over 7,000 COVID infections that came into the schools, over 40,000 children and adults were quarantined as a result of those infections. There were only 363 secondary infections acquired at schools. So masking is clearly safe. The chance of you infecting another human being at school, if you're both masked, is on the order of about 1%. Now, contrast that to the unmasked setting, where it's on the order of, at least with the Alpha variant, 13 to 16%.
So, and how do you know that? Because as you say, in North Carolina, masks were required in K through 12 schools. How did you compare it to other places where masks weren't required?
We have very limited data on places where masks are not required, because what tends to co-travel with not wanting people to mask is not wanting people to vaccinate, is not wanting to be transparent with data. But fortunately, the Israelis published data in 2020 where the secondary attack rate was quite high in the unmasked setting.
And the secondary attack rate is essentially how many people someone infects.
That's correct. And we can also glean it now as a few school districts have started to be unmasked, and we see high rates of infection. And I'm very confident that if we are in the unmasked setting, that we're going to see a tremendous amount of COVID transmission in schools.
The issue, though, as you know, doctor, is that many school districts around the country, especially if you're in a state like Texas or Florida or Arizona, they're not allowed to require masks, and it will be left up to the parents to decide if their child will wear a mask in school or not. Do you think that kind of voluntary system is good enough? Will it work to prevent infection?
No, it's not good enough. Respiratory physiology does not work that way. We don't know who's infected. There's a high fraction of people who are infected, and we know that if an infected person comes to school with the Delta variant, the number of other people that they will infect on average is 5, 10, and in the close setting of schools, even more than that. So no, that is not a good plan at all.
So let me ask you, if you were a parent of a child in one of those schools without mandatory masking and without, by the way, vaccines for kids who are under the age of 12, what should they do? How can they send their kids to school confident that their kids will be safe?
Sure. For kids older than 11, 12 to 17, it's easy. Go ahead and vaccinate, as you allude to. For children under 12, what's important is for the parents to advocate for quarantining and for transparent reporting of data. So if children are exposed at school, you need to be transparent and let the parents know. if there's large numbers of cases, you need to report that publicly.
But it sounds like what you're telling me is that infections in those schools are going to happen, right? And so if that's the case, how messy is this school year going to be? I mean, what's your prediction for what the fall will look like?
I think that most children, if they go to a school where there's voluntary masking, most of those children will become infected. Now, fortunately, the mortality from COVID in this age group is on the order of 2 to 5 per 100,000. But unfortunately, when you talk about 55 million school children, 2 per 100,000 becomes a non-trivial number of deaths in childhood. So the school districts that I worry about the most are the school districts where there's no vaccine yet, there's no mask policy, they don't quarantine, they have no transparency or reporting, and there, those school districts are almost in a Lord of the Flies environment as it relates to public health. It's every child for him or herself.
Dr. Danny Benjamin is a pediatric infectious disease specialist at Duke Health in North Carolina. We'll also link you at hereandnow.org to his essay on the effectiveness of masking in schools. He's got the data to back it up. Dr. Benjamin, thank you very much for your help.
Thank you.